for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2018 Spring Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday evening, May the 25th, 2018. Nikki Pinson is the speaker of the service, teaching on Constraining Christ.
Well, praise God. I hope you don't get tired of looking at me up here. It wasn't planned this way. This is not a birthmark. It's a 2x4 mark. And it showed no mercy. Knocked some sense in me, maybe. Almost knocked me down, but praise God. That's okay. Hallelujah. Keeps me humble. I wanted to look pretty for you, but I don't think there's a lot of hope for that. Praise God. Before I start, a little commercial here, since my brother, and I appreciate Randy and what he gives us, praise God, and what Brother Frank gives us. I appreciate what everyone does. Thank you so much. I realize we come from all different walks of life in here. Go out and look at the license plates if you don't believe that, but we do. And but I have some books back there, Growing Up in Christ in All Things, The Power of God, Overcoming Manual. This is one we passed out in the jails, prisons. My wife has Laying Down the Flesh, and our assistant pastor has one back there. I don't know what their price, but we donate them to help the camp. And then I think there's another one over there, a regular book, Holy Spirit Sent Down from Heaven. And there's one over there on that side, Christ Inwardly. So, and one more thing, if you'd like to be on our mailing list, email list we send out Monday through Friday, it's usually the summary of the sermons preached at the church. And see my wife, this lady back here. We've been married a little over a year now. My first wife passed after 41 years, and thought I never was planning on getting married again. You know where we met? Here. See, this is a good place. She's from Oshkosh, Wisconsin, where we just came from. And I'm from near Dallas, Texas, so you just figure that out. It had to be God. And I pastored the same church for 40 years in August. And she's a retired doctor, so there was a lot of adjusting to do there. The worst part, she's a Yankee and I'm a Southerner. But she doesn't even like our food that we have, which I don't see anything wrong with it. You can tell. I got to find something here. It says lights right there on my machine. Glory to God. Maybe it'll be okay. I can scoot back or something. Thank God for light, but not where you don't want it. It's kind of like fire. Fire's good where it's supposed to be. Water's good where it's supposed to be. Well, thank you, Lord. I'm going to speak to you tonight about constraining Christ. Lord, we thank you for your word. We ask the Holy Spirit be upon us and anoint us, because there's nothing, Lord, unless the Holy Spirit comes. Nothing. Unless the anointing comes, we have nothing to give anyone. Praise God. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Bless these dear, precious people that have come. Hallelujah. Be a light unto our path, a lamp unto our feet. Be the way, the truth, and the life to us, O God. Praise God. Be our life. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with Him in glory. We thank you, Lord. Praise God. Amen. Luke chapter 24, verse 13. This is the very day that Christ rose from the dead. It's in the afternoon of that day. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. These two were Notice the words "two of them." Two of them. Notice that word "them." Two of them. Are you getting that? Two of them. Who's them? Now, just 3 days before, one of them, named Peter, when confronted with these words, "Surely you are one of them. Your speech betrays you." What did he do? Exactly what the Lord said he would do, but he denied that he would do it. He declared emphatically that he was not one of them. But notice it said, they said his speech betrayed him as being one of them. I believe that holds. I believe that's true. Our speech will betray us if we're one of them. There's an old hymn written in 1906 that says, "I'm glad I'm one of them." I don't know if you've ever heard it. "One of them, one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. One of them, one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them." Praise God. Are you glad you're one of them?
Yes.
I used to work at a grocery store, and every morning when I had to punch in the produce area there, and he'd say, "Good morning, you little holy roller." And that's how he greeted me. I was one of them. Praise God. I grew up in school. Kids ask, "Where you go to church?" I go to blah, blah, blah. I didn't want them to know I was one of them. And holy rollers, you know, praise God. But Peter's speech betrayed him. That song, "I'm One of Them," actually, if you look it up and read the lyrics, it's talking about Pentecost and how that "I'm one of them that talks in tongues," praise God, is what it's meaning, one of them. We read in Acts 10 that the speech of the people gathered together at Cornelius' house betrayed them after the Holy Spirit fell upon them. So what did they say? They said, "We heard them speak in tongues like as we are, so they must be one of us or one of them." You know, it made them one of them. Oh, glory to God, aren't you glad?
Yeah.
You're one of them?
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Don't ever be ashamed of that. I'm one of them. Hallelujah. Them's the one that's going up. Praise God. Them. Hallelujah. Their name's written in the book of life. Well, are you one of them? That's the question this afternoon. Are you one of them? Mark 16:17 tells us that one of the signs that shall follow them that believe are those that are one of them is that they'll speak with new tongues. These two men on the road to Emmaus were followers of Christ. And one of them was named Cleopas. The other one's name, one of them, we don't know. But we do know that they were one of them. These men were walking to one of them's house in Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem, that very afternoon, as we said, that Christ had risen from the dead. Verse 14. And as they talked together of all the things which had happened. Now, these two men are talking. We were just in Wisconsin, and I preached this at Watertown in Kakana, Wisconsin. And up there, they talk about the Green Bay Packers, which I care nothing about all that, but that's what they talk. What do you talk about? These two men were talking about Jesus. Their speech betrayed them that they were one of them. They talked about Jesus. Praise God. What had happened to him? The man on whom they had believed, to whom they had given themselves to follow after. Malachi 3:16-18 tells this about those who talk about the Lord. Listen to this. Then they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another, and the Lord listened, and he heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them, as that one of them people again, them that feared the Lord and that thought on his name. And he says, "They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spares his own son that serves him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves God and him that does not serve God." It's a powerful passage of Scripture. The Scripture refers to those who talk to each other about the Lord. For they that
they strengthen. They that do that, they're strengthening each other in the Lord. Such conversations are not idle words and talk. You know, we're going to give account of every idle word we speak. But to these conversations, the Lord listens. It's like, who does He look to? Those that are poor to contrite spirit, tremble at His word. Who does He listen to? Those that talk about Him and think on His name. That's who He listens to. Praise God. Such speech concerning the Lord betrayed them, that they were one of them. I tell you, if you're one of them, then you'll talk about Him, Jesus Christ. In this case, the Lord even came among them on the road to Emmaus. What attracted Christ to them? Why did He join with them? Of all the people, this first day that He rose from there, of all the people, now at the tomb is where He was at that time. But He goes to the effort, so to speak, trouble, to go to these two men. Why? They're talking about Him. Came to pass as they communed together, reasoned, Jesus drew Himself drew near and went with them. Now, didn't Christ promise that those where two or three are gathered together, He'd be in their midst? Even those who walk together talk about Him, that He would be in their midst, Matthew 18:20. These two were drawn near to Christ in their conversation. And Scripture declares, if we'll draw near to Him, then He'll draw near to us. Verse 16, but their eyes were restrained that they should not know Him. Now before the Lord would reveal Himself in a physical form that they could recognize, first He would reveal Himself to them in the Scriptures. You read this. First in the Scriptures. Before He would reveal Himself to them personally or physically, so to speak. And as He revealed Himself to them in the Scriptures and talked to them, it caused them to burn in their heart. Burn in their heart. Oh, praise God. Have you ever burned in your heart? Well, have you? Do you know anything about the presence of God? You can't come in the presence of God without burning in your heart. It's good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. It's a good burning, praise God. Used to when I knew the Lord was going to speak in the gifts like a message in tongues, I would have, it's like fire right in here, burning in here. And I would know. And I would wait upon Him. Praise God. How often we'd rather, though, see some physical manifestation or proof instead of looking into the Word of God and enter into His presence. You have these people running around wanting to get a Word. And there's nothing wrong with getting a Word. God gave us that wonderful medium by which we could hear from Him. But I'm going to tell you what. Why don't you open the Word and see what He's got to say to you? Instead of just running here and there, praise God, open the Word and say, God, show me what You're saying to me. Show me, Lord. Everything we need to know is in that book, in the Word of God. How to raise your family, how to be married, what to do with your money. Everything you need to know is in that book.
Yes.
Praise God.
That's true.
But we look everywhere else, ask everyone else, Lord, help us. Now, he restrained them, their eyes, so they could not know that it was Him. Job 23:9 tells us that the Lord hides Himself from us at times. Is that right? Even though He's still present and working on our behalf. There's an old song, Job's God is real, and it says, I can't behold Him, but I know through the lattice He's beholding me. I know He is. Oh, praise God. There will be times in your life that you cannot feel His presence. And so, what have I done? Now, remember, Christ was tempted in all points like as we are. On the cross, what happened to Him? He said, my God, why have You forsaken Me? He was tested even in this area of not being able to sense the presence of His Father. And I'm telling you, He lived in the presence of His Father. I had a friend years ago, he was walking between his house and his barn. And a man that loved God, going after God, he said he felt the presence of God lift off of him. He knew it. And he said, God, what have I done? He didn't know it. This went on, I don't remember, maybe a year. Mm-hmm. Couldn't feel the presence of God. Finally, His presence came again.
me say this to you. You'll be tempted in ways you never, and tested. I don't want to just say tempted, but test or temptation, you understand that. You'll be tested in ways you never thought you would be. Get ready for it. So I don't like to hear that. Well, you need to hear it. This thing's real. And the devil doesn't like you. Did you hear that? He doesn't like you. We don't like him either. Verse 17, and he said to them, Jesus said to them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? Why were these men sad? It was because they didn't understand what God was doing. They did not understand the Scriptures concerning Christ. That's why you had to open the Scriptures to them. I'm glad, though, that when we're sad, He's willing to make us glad. Isn't that good? He's called, the Holy Spirit's called the Comforter. And it says that God, the God of all comfort, praise God. Verse 18, in fact, the gift of prophecy, not the office necessarily of a prophet, but the gift of prophecy, one of them is to comfort. Comfort, praise God. Exhort, edify, and comfort, praise God. Three things. Verse 18, that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verse 18, and one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said to him, are you only a stranger in Jerusalem and have not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said to them, what things? And they said to him, now let me ask you, does he know what has happened? But he wants to know what they're, you know, he wants. It's like when he comes to the man at a pool of Bethesda and said, hey, what do you want? Well, what do you think he wants? And you know the Scripture says in Matthew chapter 6 that He knows what we have needed before we ask. So why do we have to ask? Because we need to humble ourselves. We need to humble ourselves. You do, I do. Every day we need to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Pride is probably one of your biggest enemies. And you know what? There's a phony humility. You know that. A phony humility that's not real. Anyway, and he said to them, what things? They said to him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was, catch the word, was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. Acts 10:38 declares the things concerning Christ, that they were published throughout all Judea and Galilee, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were pressed of the devil. Catch this, for God was with him. God was with him. It's not your diploma from the Bible school or from the discipleship training classes or your talents or your skills or ability. I'm just going to have to stop here and say this. They'll tell you, bring your talents to the Lord. Bring your gifts to the Lord. Let me say this. He doesn't need your talents or your gifts. Moses at one time had a lot of talents and gifts. He was raised in Pharaoh's house, a man mighty in word and deed. Took God, so to speak. I know there's the timing too, but 40 years to get that out of Moses. To where Moses, when God called him, said, I'm a man slow of speech. You got the wrong one. When God finally gets him to a place where he has nothing, so to speak, to offer God. Now, that may be different from what you've ever heard. Okay, read 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Who does God choose, folks? Who does he choose? Do you know what that says? The lowly, the base, the nothings. That's who he chooses. Oh, is that all God can find? No, that's who he chooses. And he goes on to say that God will get the glory and no man. No man glory in his presence. Does it mean he'll never use, say you can really play the piano, he'll never use you playing the piano? Not till all that self-sufficiency, even concerning a talent, is broken in you to where you turn to him and depend upon him. Our sufficiency is not of ourselves, it's of the Lord. You see that? Many times God calls you, he'll use you in a field that you have no
expertise in, no experience, no training, none of that. Why? Because if He uses you, most of the time uses us in an area that we're really good at that, we're in the way. His old God, that's all right, Lord, I know how to do it. Just you get over here, Lord, I can do it, I can handle it. Verse 20. I'm going to say this. I get things in the mail and it says, I got one time, it says, you owe it to your church as a pastor to come to our seminary and get more education. Isn't that interesting? I think they're selling something. That's not what I owe my church. I'll tell you what I owe them. To hear from God and tell Him what God's got to say. That's what I owe them. Praise God. We can so advance ourselves, enhance ourselves, enlarge ourselves, that God can't even use us. We actually eliminate ourselves. Cancel ourselves out. God pass you by. And get some little old lady that 8th grade education. Could be a man, whatever. And use them. Smith Wigglesworth, there's a lot of his books over there. Do you know that he couldn't even read? His wife taught him to read. When they'd ask him to say something to the church, he'd open his mouth, nothing would come out. His wife was a pastor. He was a plumber, pretty good plumber, but God didn't, that's not how God used him. He raised people from the dead. God has to get you in a place where you don't trust in yourself, but you learn to trust in Him. God, I can't do this without you. There's no way I can do this. Well, that's exactly where He wants you. So, quit bringing your nice little package of gifts to Him. I mean what I'm saying. They're nothing to Him. Do you understand me? They are zero to Him. They'll get in the way. Praise God. That's a little hard, but... Now, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered Him, Christ, to be condemned to death and have crucified Him. Now you would think that someone that went about doing good would be honored. But the religious leaders in Jerusalem put to death this one who did good to the people. The religious rulers and even Pilate knew that. They delivered Jesus up because they were jealous of Him. They felt threatened by Him. They feared they would lose their place. Read that in John chapter 11. If we don't do something with this man, we're going to lose our place. God, if God really begins to use you, you're going to make some people upset. You'll be a threat to them, and they're going to be afraid they're going to lose their place because of you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Listen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord. I know I've seen it all my life. The politically hungry people. People climbing the ladder in the church. My God help. I told this to a young man from the church in Kaukauna, 14 years old. The boy can play the piano. Oh my Lord, he can play that piano. 14 years old. And he wanted to know how to be a pastor. I told him, learn the voice of God. That's how. Learn the voice of God. But I was telling him about these things and how people get jealous of you and feel threatened by you. I know this is real. But the politically hungry, they'll smash you and squash you if they think you're going to get their place from them. Some of them are making some pretty good money, you know that? Some of them want to be something on a stick, if you know that terminology. Maybe from Texas, I don't know. But anyway, they don't want, they're threatened. Praise God. Well, verse 21. But we trusted that it had been Him. Notice the past tense, had been. He, which would have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today's the third day since these things were done. They had trusted in Christ, but now they're disappointed. I'm telling you, these men are disappointed. That lost their trust in Christ. We had trusted. He let us down. Have you ever felt like the Lord let you down?
Yes.
Are you disappointed in Christ? Maybe you're even angry at Him.
Yes.
Has the Lord not done something that you expected Him to do? You told Him what to do and He didn't do it. Listen to your prayers. Most of our prayers are telling the Lord what to do. How to do it, where to do it, when to do it. That's our prayers. How did Jesus say pray? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed or holy be your name. Your kingdom come, meaning your government come. Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. But what are we doing? Record yourself next time you pray out loud. See what you're doing. God's got a lot of advisors, don't he? Bless his heart, he doesn't hardly know what to do. And thank God we're here to tell him. Look at this. How long have you been here on this earth? I don't know who the oldest one in here. I may be the oldest one. I don't know. That's terrible, isn't it?
Meryl is.
Meryl? Yeah. He is. About 1 year, I think. How long have you been here? How long has God been around? God just knows, needs to go to our school and learn, doesn't he? We need to help him. Praise God.
No beginning, no end. We need to help him.
How did he make it before we got here? Has the Lord not answered your prayer in a timely manner? Well, that's one.
Yeah.
What is timely manner? It's your time.
Right.
Your time. Or have things actually gotten worse since you began to pray about your problem or your need? How many is have you prayed and it got worse? That's a good thing, isn't it? It happens, folks. Praise God. Well, look, Saul. He's crying out to God. His army's running from him, running into the caves and across the river to the enemy. And God's not doing anything. And the Philistine army is breathing down his neck. And he loses it, doesn't he? Lost it all. He forced himself. He did what he shouldn't have done. He was told to wait. He didn't wait. It's a test, folks. If you want to know the truth, it's a setup. And you just might as well get ready for God to set you up. You ever? God help us when we're in. Some of them come so suddenly, some come slowly. God help us understand this is a setup. And I'm being tested. What am I going to do? Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, the Lord promised me things about my church and been there 40 years and it hasn't happened. I have to come to a place. See, Hebrews 11 says, these died in the faith, not having received the promises. But they kept the faith, even though they died and never saw the promises fulfilled. And the Lord dealt with me about that. If I never see what I know He told me He would do there, I must die believing Him for it.
Yes.
Till my last breath, praise God. Be careful. Who else are you going to go to? You get mad at God? That's stupid. It is really ridiculous. There's no other name under heaven whereby you must be saved. Watch yourself. Be careful. Guard yourself. Guard your heart. You want to get mad at someone? Don't get mad at the Lord. You can talk to Him. You can discuss things. I was telling the Lord something the other day. I said, Lord, You said You was going to do this and You haven't done it. You see that? You haven't done it. I thought I was really getting somewhere. A couple of days later, the Lord reminded me of something that He told me to do years ago that I hadn't done. That's right. I would say this here. It's a good place to say it. Just because you forgot let me say, your sin, your iniquity, your transgression. Just because you forgot them doesn't mean God forgot. Let me explain. If you have not repented, they're still on the book. Time does not erase sin. Repentance does. The blood of Jesus does. Just want to tell you that. Don't expect the Lord to do things the way you think they should be done. Nor when you think they should be done, or how you think they should be done, or where you think they should be done. You know what? It's a whole lot better to live with expectancy that God's going to surprise me. He's going to surprise you. Praise God. Isn't it good when He surprises you? Thank you, Lord. Mary and Martha were very disappointed when Jesus didn't come right away. They sent for Him. sent for him. John chapter 11. Come, your friend whom you love is sick. You know, Jesus didn't come till he was dead, good and dead. Then he went. He gets there. And what does he hear from everybody? Well, this man that opened blind eyes and made the lame to walk, if he had come on time, he could have healed this man. But now he's dead. Mary and Martha said this, Lord, if you'd have come. How many times have you talked to the Lord like that? Lord, if you'd have answered my prayer. Now look at the thing. You know what the problem is, don't you? They drew a line in the sand. And they said, if this situation goes past the line, it's over with. What was the line? Him dying. Let me tell you, he's able to go past the little silly, stupid line you drew. He is able to go past it. Did he go past it?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, he did.
And the Lord said he'll rise from the dead. And Mary said, Martha, I don't remember which one, said, yes, Lord, in the resurrection. He said, I am the resurrection. I am. Praise God. The whole thing is, can we see this? The Lord had a greater plan than Mary and Martha or anyone else had. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. He has a better plan than you do.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll build your faith. And it'll be a greater testimony. But not everyone's going to like your testimony. Not only in that same chapter where they planned to put Jesus to death, but they're going to kill Lazarus too, because he's the evidence. Get rid of him too. Praise God. Oh, I just wish I had a testimony. Watch out. Watch out. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 22. Yes, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came seeing that they had also seen the vision of angels, which said that Jesus was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Him they saw not. Now you remember, when the Lord came to them, he had to upbraid them for their unbelief. These people are coming and telling the ones, the remnant, the ones that are left, he's risen from the dead. And what did Thomas say? Not unless I can touch the scar in his side of his hand. I'm not going to believe. And so these two here, I would think they'd be in the category of not believing, wouldn't you? They're discouraged. They're disappointed. You've been there. I've been there. Probably be there again. Wish we weren't. But it's because... Listen, the Lord's going to try us in all areas, right? All areas. We're in it, folks. We're in the school of Christ. He's getting us ready. And if we, it's not all about this life. You know that. This is a dressing room, a training place. For eternity. Eternity. The Lord's had me a lot of times praying for someone, a man, maybe I call him a man of God. I don't know who you're talking to. It's not me. Or a man or woman, mighty man of God. But listen, it's eternity for that to play out. You know that? He's getting you ready. We can't wait till the end of our life to get ready. And I'm going to say this here. I don't know what some people think, but they won't deal with their anger. They won't deal with their jealousy. They won't deal with a lot of things in their life. And somehow they just think when the rapture, if you believe in the rapture, I know this, we're going to be caught up whenever it happens, okay? I believe that. You cannot take that away from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Can you? You can't take that away. Caught up to meet Him in the air, so shall we ever be the Lord. I'm sorry, folks, but that's in your Bible. I don't know when and I don't know how. And I think we get in a lot of trouble trying to say when and how, necessarily. Now, somehow they think when that happens, the trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet Him in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. I know that real well, because that's a lot of times the scripture you use when you get down to the graveyard, you know, the funeral. It's a beautiful promise. I had a dream about that. Awesome dream. Praise God. But somehow they think when they're going up, magic dust, angel feathers, I don't know, gold dust, something's going to be sprinkled on them. and their anger is going to drop off of them. Their jealousy, their lust is going to drop off. They're going to be transformed as between this earth and up there. Really? Scripture says, as a tree falls, so shall it lie. What we are is what we're going to be in eternity. There's not a purgatory where you can go and get everything fixed, you know, between here and there. Anyway, let's move on. These two men that were one of them did not realize that they were talking to the one that the others, who were also one of them, didn't see at the tomb. Isn't this awesome? They're getting to see him. The others had him. Our Lord's in the business. He said we were astonished. He's in the business of astonishing people. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Verse 25. Then Jesus said to them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. How often have we also been fools and slow of heart to believe all the word of the Lord? And all that the Holy Spirit speaks to us directly in our hearts and speaks to us through a true servant of the Lord. There are people I know in this room tonight that God has made promises to you and spoken things to you, and you're slow of heart to believe it. You say, ooh, I don't think so. I don't see how, and all this kind of thing. Verse 26, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? It's a very important point here. Christ could not enter into His glory until after He suffered all that was predetermined concerning Him, which was that the Father allowed Him to suffer at the hands of angry, jealous men. 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us that God will not allow His own to be tempted above what they're able to bear. Now, how is that usually quoted? God will not put more on you than what you're able to bear. Please, that is not what it says. Read it. That's actually accusing God. He said, God will not allow more to be put on you. He controls that. Look at Job. He told Satan, you can do this, but you can't go past that. He controlled it. He controls it for you. He will not allow more to be put on you, or you to be tempted above what you're able to bear. I can't bear this. That's not what He says. It's not what He says. You don't want to, but you can. Let me say this. God would not speak to you. Say you were doing something you shouldn't be doing, and God spoke to you and told you you better quit. God would not speak to you and tell you that if you couldn't do it with His help. Is that right? He's not playing games with you or me. If He speaks to you, He expects it to be done, and He'll give you the strength to do it. I tell you, with that word that comes is the power for it to happen. There's power. The woman caught in the act of adultery, you know what I'm talking about. And so all the men left. When Jesus said, let the one without sin cast the first stone, they all left. Jesus said, where are your accusers? Said, there's none, Lord. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Then He gives a prophetic word. Go and sin no more. That's not just a commandment, folks. There's power in that word. Oh my God, there's power in that word. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. There's power in what He said to her. It's prophetic, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Therefore, they could not do any more to Christ than what the Father allowed. So it is with all of us and all of them and one of them. Philippians 2, God's got you back, praise God. God's got you. And this is not going to last forever, whatever you're going through. And please forgive me for this, but quit whining. See, you just don't know how hard it is. I'm going to tell you, maybe I don't know how hard your situation is, but you don't know how hard mine has been. Or anyone else in this room.
That's right.
We're still here. You may not have thought you would be, but you are.
Right.
And you'll continue to be if you'll continue to trust Him.
Right.
He will not allow more to be put on you than what you're able to bear.
Right.
Please, folks, He's getting you ready. This is not a game. This is serious. He's gathering the people together, and these are not wimpy people that can't stand anything, that fall under anything that comes. What did He say of John the Baptist? Did you go out there to see a reed shaking in the wind? We're not going to be a reed shaken in the wind. He's going to make us solid. Praise God.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Philippians 2 tells us that after Christ humbled Himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, then God highly exalted Him, gave Him a name which is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, Jesus, what's He telling His men? He's got to suffer these things in order to enter into His glory. We cannot enter into His glory unless we suffer with Him, that we might also be glorified together. Romans 8:17. 2 Timothy 2:12 promises that if we suffer with Christ, we'll also reign with Him. Wonderful to sing about our God reigns and we're going to reign and whatever. Not unless you suffer with Him. It's an exclusive club. Oh, praise God. Philippians 3:10, the Apostle Paul desires to enter into the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable to his death. And he says this is part of attaining the prize of the high calling Christ Jesus. I cannot myself, maybe someday I can't imagine wanting to enter into the fellowship of his sufferings. I don't like suffering, do you? I'm going to say this to you. It looks so dark ahead, maybe. Let me tell you, though, if you'll submit to God, if you'll submit and embrace whatever He's put in front of you, when you get there, it won't be as bad as you think it is. I'm promising it will not be. There'll be a power come. There'll be a peace come. There'll be strength come that you don't have right now. You know why? You don't need it right now. He'll be there. The three Hebrew children, they said, we don't know if He will deliver us or not, but we're not going to bow down. It's a very hot furnace, folks. The men that threw them in burnt, died from the heat, okay? Let me ask you, when they were thrown in there, was it easier, perhaps, than anybody thought? Oh, yes. Why? Because the Lord was with them. Daniel, the lion's den, that wasn't a play thing. Whew. Behavior, you're going to the lion's den. When I was a kid, we grew up in Dallas, and there was a huge orphan's home there, and we'd go by. My parents said, you better behave or you're going there. Butner's orphan's home. But you know what? When he went in there, the angel stopped the mouth of the lions. However, Stephen, they stopped up their ears and stoned him to death. I don't know, but whatever it is, folks, praise God. Why do we love life so much? I tell you, if you're afraid to die, the devil he'll do a number on you over that. Job said, what I feared the most has come upon me. Please, if you got a fear in your life, you better deal with it. Because the devil will jerk you from pillar to post and jerk your chain and he'll defeat you over it. They loved not their life under the. That's okay. They overcame him by the word of their testimony,
blood of the Lamb.
Most people don't quote that part though, do they? I don't know. Maybe you've been somewhere different from me. They like to quote that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. Oh, wait a minute. There's a third part. They love not their life unto the death. God knows right now, all of us sitting here, if we love our life. He knows that. He knows if you love your life. And it shows too, really. It does. You can sing in the choir and still love your life. Let me tell you, you're going to go on with Him, He's going to deal with that. He's going to deal with that. Because when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with Him in glory. If we don't hate our life, Jesus said, we don't hate our life on this earth. We'll lose it. But if we'll hate it, we'll find life. His life. Praise God. Oh my. Woo! Glory to God. That is so powerful. Do you love your life? Ah, that's what Peter thought. He said, Lord, I'll die for you. How far did that go? It's a work that God has to do in us. You know that. I'm telling you. It's God that works in you to will and do of His good pleasure. It's not of us, folks. Oh my, it's not of us. And we'll know that. If we keep walking with Him, we'll know that. So, in the beginning at Moses and all the prophets, Christ expounded them in all the scriptures of things concerning Himself. We don't need to be too critical of these men, for we've all done and perhaps are doing the same thing as they did, right? We have in our minds what we want, but if we get what we want, then God cannot get what He wants. If we get what we want, God cannot get what He wants. It's got to be laid down at the cross, laid down at His feet. We used to sing, lay it all on the altar. That's what has to happen. Because His wants are so much higher and different from our wants. That's why we pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, holy be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And they drew near to the village where they went, and He made as though He would go on further. This is the part that I really want to get to here, constraining Christ. He made as though He would go on further. And doubtless He would have gone further if they had not constrained Him to come in with them into the house. He was not pretending to see what they would do. It's a principle of God. And the onus is upon us, not Christ, to persuade Him to come in to us. I'll say this, it's a simple thing, but God's not chasing you with a butterfly net. He's not. You want Him, you'll go after Him. You'll not get Him any other way. Which is, I don't know, we think so highly of ourselves. God can't, He can't make it without me. He can't do it without me. Really? He's been doing it a long time without you. And He will. We see this principle in Mark 6:48. And Jesus saw them toiling and rowing. For the wind was contrary unto them. About the fourth watch of the night, He came unto them walking on the sea and would have passed them by. Now we know that Jesus had sent them away. He went up into the mountain to pray. Now how does He know that they're in danger out there? How does He know that? He had binoculars or telescope. How did He know? Well, the Holy Spirit reveals it to Him. And He gathers all of His stuff up and takes off as fast as He can, running across the water to help them. Not until the fourth watch of the night did He come. And you're going right back to John 11. He waited until the situation was hopeless, helpless. And so He comes walking on the water. And the Scripture says He would have passed them by. I want to tell you tonight, if you don't cry out to Him, He'll pass you by.
Amen.
No, He has to have me. No, He doesn't. He needs me. No, He doesn't. If He needed you, He wouldn't be God. He needs nothing. He would have passed them by, but they cried out to Him. And when they cried out, He turned and He came and got into the ship. And the storm ceased. The whole thing is get Him in your ship, folks. Humble yourself, cry out, shed some tears. Get rid of your pride. My pride. Hallelujah. You know what? God waits until we're really deeply in trouble and in crisis. He does. He has to do that. And then when we are really ready, He'll come. But He waits until we're truly ready. In Revelation 3:20 it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in and dine with him." But you know what? He's not going to waste His time. He's going to wait till you're ready to open the door. You understand that? He's going to wait till you're ready. So hurry up and get ready. What does He have to send to our lives for us to understand how much we need Him and how desperate this thing is? God knows how, and He knows when to deliver the godly out of temptation. 2 Peter 2:9. These two men, who were one of them, were sad. They were in need, but Jesus had caused their hearts to burn within them. Now what will they do with that? He did not stop, nor did He attempt to go in with them, but He stepped on, went on, taking His leave of them. If you see what's happening, He's constraining them so that they'll constrain Him. Do you see this? By going on, He's constraining them so they'll constrain Him. Wait, you can't go on. You're making our heart burn. We never felt anything like this. You can't do this. You've got to stay. Has he ever touched you so deeply that you just got to have more? You got to have it all the time. Your heart's burning within you. Nothing else satisfies you like his presence. Praise God. You know, it's a sad thing. Difficult thing. There's so many sitting on church pews that have never tasted the presence of God. They don't even know what it is. And you'll never know till you do. You can't describe it. You know what I'm saying? Words can't describe it. It has to happen. But oh my, when it happens, you've got to have more. And more. And I'll tell you something else. It'll cure some of that sinning because you don't want to lose his presence. And you'll learn right quick. Disobey, mess up. You got to repent because why? You can't feel his presence. It's really on our part, not his. You understand that? The Lord still came in the cool of the day to the garden. They're the ones that hid out of guilt. Praise God. Now, what will they do with this? He's going to walk on. What will we do with it? Now, he intended to stay with them, provided they would urge him. Here's another principle that God operates by. You have not because you ask not, James 4:2. The proud won't ask. They may command, they may murmur and complain, they may accuse, but they will not humble themselves and cry out to God for his help and intervention in their affairs. Now these, who are one of them, are attempting to apprehend him who's apprehending them. Who said that? Paul said it in Philippians 3. Be sure that Jesus would have gone on if the disciples had not pressured him to enter in with him. How many times has he gone on past us because we wouldn't constrain him and we wouldn't urge him? TV program was just too interesting. All that lies on Facebook was just too juicy. Come on, y'all. You know all that stuff on Facebook is most of it's phony. Look at their pictures. Who is that? I don't recognize them. Praise God. Whatever you're doing or I'm doing, praise God. Maybe fishing, I don't know. He'll do that with us if we do not urge him to enter into our hearts, our churches, our homes, our business, our nation. Verse 29, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us. For it's toward evening, the day is far spent, and he went in to tarry or to abide to stay with them. Oh, praise God. They were successful. Those who are truly one of them are delighted with communion with Christ. They didn't want to cut that off. It was too awesome. They seek his presence as the chief object of their desire. And they find their chief pleasure in fellowship with him. These two who were one of them urged Christ to turn in with them, to come in, abide with him, to remain with him. It was toward evening. Consequently, it was both inconvenient and unsafe for anyone to proceed on to another village. Remember righteous Lot when the two angels came in? He realized those are one of them. And he said, you've got to come in my house. We're going to stay out on the street. And said, no, you can't stay on the streets here. You've got to come in. And because Lot urged them and constrained them, they came to his house. Lot and his family were spared. We really need to constrain the Lord. Praise God. Let me ask you this. They're saying, man, you've got to come in the house, these two men. They don't know who is Christ. You've got to come in. It's not safe for you to stay out. Come into our house. I want to ask you, is Christ safe in your heart for you to constrain him to come in? Is he safe in your church, your family, our nation? The Arabic version renders it, they held him by force. What does the scripture say? The violent take it by force. Remember when Jacob wrestled with the Lord? He would not let him go. He held on to him. He said, you've got to let me go. The day's breaking. He said, not unless you bless me. I'm not letting you go. Come on, folks. The violent take it by force. You want Christ, you're going to have to constrain him, urge him. By force, take him. I'm not letting you go. Lord, you got 5 minutes. If you don't get it done, I'm out of here. Well, you just might as well go now. You might as well go now. I used to, when I get off work, I'd go by the church I pastored on the way home. And at that time, it was an old wooden building. And I went in and I tried praying, and sometimes I touched God, sometimes I didn't. I'd get discouraged. I was just going to go home. I don't know how many times I've walked to the back door and the Lord said, why don't you just try a little longer? Why don't you just try a little longer? Maybe you fall asleep. Hey, when you wake up, get back with it. Don't be condemned over it. Of course, there's other things you can do. You can get a wet washcloth and wash your face and get some coffee, like you would if you were driving and you need to get somewhere. All we'll do, you know what's important to us? We'll get serious about it, won't we? Won't we? Hallelujah. They could not bear to part with him. They pressed him with arguments that he could not deny them. Neither did he want to deny them. Song of Solomon 3:4 describes this principle constraining Christ. But I found him whom my soul loves. I held him and not let him go. Psalm 42:1, as the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul pants for you, O God. The Apostle John was so desiring to be close to Jesus that he leaned upon Jesus' breast. Matthew 28:29 tells us that Jesus met some women at the tomb right after he was risen from the dead, who were one of them, and they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. John 11:2 tells us that Mary, who was one of them, anointed the Lord with ointment, and with her tears washed his feet and dried his feet with the hair of her head. In Acts 16, we read of Lydia, who was one of them, for she worshipped God. When Paul's companions preached Christ, Lydia heard them, and because her heart burned within her, the Lord opened her heart, just as he opened the hearts of these two men on the road to Emmaus. She was so converted in her heart that she was baptized, and her household with her. And listen to what she did. It says, and then she urged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful unto the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. What did they do at Samaria? At Sychar, what did they do? The woman at the well, she went in the city. Now look, 12 disciples went in the city, brought nobody back with them. This woman, been married 5 times, shacking up with a guy she wasn't married to, goes in the city and brings a whole town out. Come see a man that told me all I ever did. They constrained Christ. He went and stayed with them for 2 days. I don't know. Do you want him? Do you? Or do you want what he can give you? Or do you want him? There's a big difference. Some people put it this way. Do you want his face or his hands? His presence or what? His goodies. Moses told the Lord, if your presence go not with me, carry us not up from here. Is that how we feel about the Lord's presence? That we will not go on unless he goes with us? Are we constraining Christ to come in and abide with us? And it came to pass, as he sat at dinner with them, he took bread and blessed it and broke and gave it to them. Their eyes were opened and they knew him. That word knew him. Okay. Adam knew Eve. You know what that means. Right? Paul said he counted everything lost that he may know Christ. That's not information. That's intimacy. They knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the Scriptures? I want to ask you, don't raise your hand, but how many in here you've been reading the Word and your heart just start burning within you? Ooh, and it comes alive, praise God. Or maybe you're one of these people, you're struggling to read your 5 verses in the morning. Hallelujah. Bored with what the Lord has to say to you. Well, I'm busy. Well, you're too busy. Right? Trumpet sounds. Sorry, Lord, I'm busy. Can you come back next week? Or after my retirement? Or after our vacation? Or whatever. How blessed we are when the Lord makes our hearts burn within us with His presence as He did with these men. Has the Holy Spirit opened our heart's eye that we can see Christ inwardly? Jesus said the Holy Spirit would take His things and reveal them to us, John 16. Revelation 3:20, again, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him and dine with him and he with me. By knocking at our heart's door, Christ is constraining us, inviting him in so that he can abide with us. His knocking at our heart's door, his voice calling unto us, will cause a burning in our hearts if we're one of them. His sheep know his voice, for they're one of them, one of his own. John 10:4. That burning in our hearts will cause us to constrain Christ to come in and abide with us, to break bread with us, so that we might know him. Let us count everything else as dung, as Apostle Paul did, that we might win Christ by constraining him to abide with us. Remember why the Lord came along beside them. It was because they were thinking and talking about him. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'll be in their midst. After 40 long years on the backside of the desert, God enticed the defeated and sad Moses with a burning bush that is not consumed. Maybe you're there tonight. We sang that hymn this morning, I think. All our dreams and plans, everything at our feet in ashes laid. You know, I really believe that Moses had consigned himself, decided that that's going to be his lot till he dies. He's going to watch those sheep. But he had a call on his life. Amen. But he messed up. But he has his callings and gifts are without repentance. The Lord was constraining Moses to see if he would turn aside and investigate this bush of the burning. Thank God for his burnings, for he's a consuming fire. Remember, it's the Holy Ghost and fire are burning that Jesus baptizes believers with. Believers. Who are believers? They're one of them. When God came down from Mount Sinai with a burning fire, listen to this, I'm at the end here. With a burning fire, the children of Israel rejected the Lord's presence. You know they did that? And ran to their tents to hide from God. They told Moses, said, Moses, tell God don't ever do that again, lest we die. I want to tell you why some people won't read the Word of God. Because it's a discerner of our thoughts and intents. It exposes us. I want to tell you why some people won't go to church. Now, some people want to go if they got some kind of circus going on or entertainment. But they won't go where there's truth. Because why? Lest we die. We're going to have to, make some changes. We're going to have to lay some things down. We're going to have to repent. And we're having too much fun. Are you having fun in the world? Well, I want to warn you, the way of the transgressor is hard. Will we run to the burning of the Lord's presence? Will we constrain Him? Or will we run from His burning presence? I've seen people, when the Spirit of God was moving, run out the back door of the church. Couldn't take it. I've seen people when there would be miracles take place, perhaps of healing, they'd get out of there. God was coming too close. Too close for comfort. May God come so close in this camp. May He come so close, praise God. Not just this camp, but every camp. I know one thing, God wants to do great things here. He wants to do great things where you are. He wants to do them in your home and in your heart. He's trying. He's really trying. You know what? We're going to stand before God and answer for all that. I was trying to call you and you ignored me. That's pretty tough, folks. Amen? Praise God. Will you stand with me? Thank you, Jesus. Constrain him or lose him. Urge him. Grab a hold of him or lose him. Praise God. He's not going to throw himself on you. The onus is on us. The burden is on us. Oh my God. Lord, speak to us. Speak to us. Speak to us, oh God. Speak to us, oh God. Lord, I thank you that these are here that are here. I don't know, Lord, some may have come because they're having problems and they want their problems fixed. But Lord, there may be some here that are here because they want you. They're after you. And they don't want anything in their life that's between you and them. They hunger and thirst after you. Their soul longs for you. Praise God. Praise God. Come, Holy Spirit. Come. Come near, O God. Come near. Come near, O God. Praise God. Come near, O God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Lord, when we lay our heads down on our pillow tonight, come near us. Praise God. In the night, come near us, O God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. They constrained Him. They constrained Him. They constrained Him. They urged Him. They urged Him. They urged Him. Will you urge Him tonight? Will you cry out to Him? Will you? He's going to pass by you on that water if you don't cry out to Him. Oh, my God, my God, my God, my God. Forgive us, Lord, for playing games with You. Playing cat and mouse with You. For treating You, Lord, like we treated You. Oh, God, You're our friend till someone else comes along that has something else. Forgive us for getting mad at You, Lord. Angry with You. Forgive us, Lord, for choosing something or someone else over You. How could we do that? Forgive us, Lord, for slighting You. For us making You our friend when we need You. Oh, God. Oh, God. We repent, Lord. We repent. You're our only hope. You're our only foundation. The only name. The only one whereby we must be saved. But more than that, Lord, You want a living relationship with us. You want fellowship with us. Hallelujah. Listen, in His presence is fullness of joy. His right hand are pleasures forevermore. How can you compare that to whatever you've been putting before Him? How can you do that? Do we not know? Do we not understand? Is our heart so full of lust, so hardened, that we can't see that? You say, the Lord disappointed me. Well, how many times have you disappointed Him? Praise God. Oh, my God, my God. Come, Holy Spirit, I need You. Come, Holy Spirit, I pray. Come in Thy strength and Thy power. Come in Thine own gentle way. Come, Holy Spirit, I need You. Come, Holy Spirit. Teach us, Lord. Put it in our hearts, Lord.
Give us a desire that we don't have, Lord. Give us a hunger that we don't have. Oh, my God, my God, my God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You can go ahead and pray. That's okay. Pray. Pray where you're at. Talk to Him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, my God. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Raise your voice. Hallelujah. Cry out to Him. Praise God. This could be it tonight. This could be it tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, my God. Father, forgive us for causing You to have to be so hard on us. We did it, Lord. It's our fault, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. When You wanted to show us grace and mercy, we made You have to be hard on us because of our stubbornness, our hard-heartedness, our desire for other things. Forgive us, Lord. Oh, my God. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, bless the Lord. Hold, today is a day of salvation. Hallelujah. Today is a day to touch Him. Hallelujah. Today is a day to constrain Him. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Praise Your name, Lord. Praise Your name, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Praise Your name, Lord. Praise Your name, Lord. Hallelujah. None like unto You, Lord. None like unto You, O Lord. Praise God. Oh, our rock. Hallelujah. Our staff, our salvation. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Our soon coming King. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Someone cry out to God for us. Hallelujah. It's okay. Praise God. Someone. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Praise God. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Raise your voice. Cry out for us. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Oh, my God. My God. My God. Oh, my God, my God. God, my God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hear us, O God. Hear us, O God. Hear us, O God. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my cry. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hear our cry, O God. Hear our cry, O God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 Oh, yes, Lord, we want you tonight. We want you, Lord. Hallelujah. We want you more than we want sleep, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord. Oh, praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. May God get us to the place that we don't know what to do. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. If there's some that want prayer, if you'll come and stand across the front, we'll pray for you. Praise God. Hallelujah. You can sit and pray, whatever, but just be very, very respectful of God's house. Hallelujah. But if you want prayer, come. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, my God. My God. My God.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.